The first reading is from the Book of Proverbs. The Book of Proverbs, a series of practical teachings and poetry attributed to the court of King Solomon around 1000 BCE, is part of a larger genre of wisdom literature found in Holy Scripture. Today's poem depicts Lady Wisdom as being present at the beginning of creation, rejoicing in God's work. Later Christian interpreters see her as the presence of the Holy Spirit, or even Christ active with the Creator in the making of all things, and cite this passage as an early depiction of what would later become the Christian Church's doctrine of the Trinity. A reading from the Book of Proverbs. Does not wisdom call, and does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights beside the way, at the crossroads, she takes her stand. Beside the gates in front of the town, at the entrance of the portals, she cries out, "To you, O people, I call, and my cry is to all that live. The Lord created me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of long ago. Ages ago, I was set up. At the first, before the beginning of the earth, when there were no depths, I was brought forth, when there were no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth. When he had not yet made earth and fields, or the world's first bits of soil. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep. When he made firm the skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit, so that the waters might not transgress his command, when he worked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him like a master worker, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and delighting in the human race." Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Oh, Lord. Paul's letter to the Romans is arguably his most sophisticated work among the earliest documents of thoroughgoing Christian theology we have. Addressed around the year 56 to an early Christian community made up of both Jews and Gentiles, possibly in Rome, the letter sets out the essentials of the Christian faith. In our reading today, Paul reflects on two key foundations of his theology: justification by faith, how faith in Christ's self-offering makes it possible for an imperfect, sinful humanity to be reconciled with a God of perfect holiness, and sanctified suffering, divine love through the Holy Spirit bringing meaning to the suffering that we experience. A reading from Paul's letter to the Romans. Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to his grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said to his disciples, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Thank you. Someone noted recently that today is the only Sunday in the church year that is named after a doctrine of the church. A doctrine of the church. And if you're an Episcopalian like me, when you hear the word doctrine, there's a temptation to run for the hills. The doctrines were intended to bring illumination and even healing to the body of Christ, that is, the community of God's people. They were not meant to be used to hit people over the head, although unfortunately, the genesis of the doctrine of the Trinity involved a lot of Christian conflict, and it even came in some instances to bloodshed. The whole focus of that argument and debate was, who is Jesus really, and how does Jesus relate to God? The solution that was hammered out in the Council of Nicaea way back, you know, in the 4th century, uses categories and philosophical ideas that really do not matter a lot to us today. But the words linger because there is something critically important about what the Trinity and the notion of God and Jesus as made of the same thing, the same substance, means to us even today. Sometimes it helps to paint by contrast. And I think what may be helpful to us today as we consider the doctrine of the Trinity and all of the things, and all of the ink that has been spilled around it, to think of what divinity meant in the ancient world to our spiritual ancestors. The gods frequently in the ancient world were distant and far away. Those of you who've studied the Greeks at all remember, you know, the gods were on Mount Olympus, and they were immortal. And we were mortal, and down here in the real world, and they were up on Mount Olympus enjoying life and immortality. So why would they have anything at all to do with us, really? And so we would tell stories about them. For our spiritual ancestors in the Jewish tradition, there was a sense in which God was all-powerful but terribly distant, and so holy that no one could even look at God and live. This was a God of fire and of smoke, a God who came down on the mountain to talk with the holy ones like Moses, but the rest of us, not so much. Everything had to be interpreted to us through the prophets and the teachers, and even were fed to us through the kings. That distance between God and God's people was a critical piece of the problem, as it were, the spiritual problem for the world into which Jesus came. What the Trinity teaches us is that in Jesus, God has come among us, not only into our mortal lives, our temporal lives, but into our sinful lives, our lives that are broken and don't feel good, the parts of our lives that we regret, the parts of the lives we wish we could go back and do over again, and the reality that so many in the human family thought was true in the ancient world, which was the gods couldn't care less, and that our job was simply to be born, struggle, maybe suffer a little bit, and then die. Not very edifying, is it? But Jesus, as God, comes among us as one of us and embraces all of that, and simply by doing that, brings meaning even to the most difficult parts of our lives. Paul, in the letter we just heard from his addressing the Romans, is about Paul, a faithful Jew in the middle of the first century, having experienced the presence of Christ and having been transformed by it, struggling with how to articulate to a world that was very cynical about the divine presence, about the importance of God who has come among us, and more than that, has sanctified, has made holy our suffering, the worst bits of us. That is one of the messages, and I think one of the most important messages of the Trinity for us to realize. And then in John's Gospel today, we hear about the coming of the Holy Spirit. In John's Gospel, Jesus gets out of the way so the Holy Spirit can come. And Jesus promises us that the Holy Spirit will bring even more than his teachings did. That gets after another notion of divinities and gods that has lingered for a long time and is still kind of present in our culture today, and that is the God who is the clockmaker, who winds up the universe and then watches it unfold, right? Because that's kind of cool. You make something and you watch it work. That notion was very present, incidentally, at the founding of our nation, and it was very common in the philosophical schools that are at the root of our society. So there's a way in which that still lingers with us, and it's a little bit like a tape in the back of our heads that plays sometimes. Well, does God really care? Because all these bad things happen in the world? And is God active in this world? Or are we slipping back into what our Greek ancestors did, which is, God's enjoying eternity. We just need to get on with our short, difficult lives. No. The Spirit, the doctrine of the Trinity teaches, is God's presence active in everything. From the smallest particle of matter to the most distant galaxy. And that without God's presence, none of that would be, none of that would exist. And that God is constantly in the process of remaking that. The creation is an ongoing process. Now that sounds kind of abstract, but did you ever think that God is in the business of remaking you? Each and every moment of every day? And that you are animated by the Spirit of God at work in you? That's the teaching of the Trinity. And as Paul writes, even in the face of suffering, our suffering is sanctified, and our suffering gives us endurance, he says, and endurance builds character. And that's where Americans get stuck. Yay, my character is built now. No, you have character so you can be a vessel of hope for the world around you and for the world to come. That is how God is making things new in very real ways in each of our lives and in this community and in the community around us. All right, so that's Brother Richard's thumbnail doctrine of the Trinity. But if you take anything away today, I want you to remember the fundamental teaching of this doctrine is that at the heart of God is relationship, not distance, not couldn't care less, but relationship. What God so desperately wants with each of us and with God's people and the world and indeed the whole cosmos is relationship. That is how God comes to life among us. And that's good news for a world of loneliness and anxiety and sometimes even despair. God is still working, and God calls us into new life.
Thank you for listening to this sermon podcast from the Episcopal Church of Our Savior, Mill Valley, California. We are a growing community, welcoming those seeking to deepen their relationship with God and to journey in faith with God's people through the breaking of bread and in service to others in Christ's name. You may reach us by phone at 415-388-1907. Search for us online or at Facebook, or visit our website at cosmv.org. We wish you God's peace, and we hope to greet you in person very soon.